326. And while we're thinking about it, since you just told me to tell everybody about it, we are going to have a lunch next Sunday after service. We're going to keep it super simple. I'm going to get some pizzas, and we're going to see if somebody could bring some salad. I know, I think Miss Fran or Marlene usually makes one of those big salads, and then maybe some people can just bring some salad toppings and some dressing or something like that, and some drinks, and then that's all we'll have to do. So we're just going to have pizza and salad. 326. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to let's try it a little lower. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more about Jesus.
Peace, more about us more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Be seated. Hymn number 70. Hymn number 70. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to
Good evening. Can we turn to Genesis chapter 37? Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father, to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed thy flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said unto him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him in some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand not be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped it in the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son, mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Our Lord and our God, we come to you again and we pray. We thank you, Lord, for this place that you've given us to meet. Lord, we ask that you would be pleased to keep it. Lord, thank you for our pastor who who studies and tells us the truth, Lord, that we can trust your word, Lord. And that's all we need. Lord, we ask that you would be with our families that don't know you, Lord. I ask that you'd be merciful to them just like you were merciful to us, Lord. Help them, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we ask for your mercy on the sick of this congregation, Lord. We ask mercy for the family, Lord, that's lost their loved one. Lord, we ask that you'd keep them and uphold them, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for every day, the mercy. Mercy to you, Lord. Mercy to us and holy glory to your name. Lord, we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 168. 168. Lord, I hear of showers of blessing, thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me, even me. Let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling to thee. I am longing for thy favor, whilst thou'rt calling, O call me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Savior, thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Love of God, so pure and changeless, blood of Christ, so rich and free. Grace of God, so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me.
Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. When he is reading Genesis 37, Joseph is more a type of Christ than anybody else in the Bible. Mr. Pink said that there's 72 types of the Lord Jesus, that Joseph is 72 types of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was obvious in that, what he read, that it was talking about Christ. It's obvious it was. brothers hate him, he's going to rule over them, and he did. And that's the way it is with Christ. They've been hating, but he's Lord, whether they like it or not. And then they sold him, you know. They sold him. Took his clothes off of him, the way he did our Lord. So gambled for his garments. Gambled for his garments. Sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But oh, bless his name. I'm so thankful that we can find the gospel anywhere we look if God will bless us to see it. And here in Exodus 12, I want to talk about the eating of the Passover. Let me read down to verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. That's an amazing thing, that the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same year, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now I'm going to deal with several verses of this, but the thing that I want to deal with is that they shall eat the flesh. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh, roasted with fire, eat it not raw nor sodden with water. Let nothing of it remain. I want to talk about eating the Passover. Now we know it's the blood. All of us know, God made us to understand, it's the blood that cleanses us from our sin. It's the blood that cleanses us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. God Himself said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. The blood is our place of safety. Blood is our salvation. That washes all our sin away. And I tell you, I thank God for the blood. And God told them there in verse 13, I've given you the blood as a token by God Almighty. And He gives them that token to show that He's been satisfied and will accept all where the blood is seen. When He went through Egypt, everybody in Egypt, that the firstborn of every soul in Egypt died that night. Even those in the house of Israel, they died died in their substitute. They all died in their substitute. You know, where there wasn't any blood, God inflicted judgment. And I'll tell you, because the blood was already shed, judgment had already been inflicted. And so, you know, He'll accept all the blood where the blood is seen. And I tell you, you know, that's why He said Christ is a lamb without spot and without blemish, We've been redeemed with Christ, a spotless lamb without spot and without blemish. And I tell you what, Christ is our atonement, made our atonement for us. But now it's the lamb that's eaten. When they take this lamb and eat this lamb, and you take and eat it, and that's when we come into fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's taking Christ and eating him, and it's eating that lamb. That's how we come into fellowship and communion with him. Our Lord in John 6 and 53 said, except you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you'll have no life in you. They said, how are we going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Our Lord said, I'm that bread which come down from heaven. He told them why it was going to be. He said, just like they ate bread and died in the wilderness, he said, I'm going to have to die for you to have my flesh. I'm going to have to shed my blood. And when he is talking about it was a spiritual act, we're not cannibals, and that's not what he was teaching. And I tell you, it's by taking the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and eating him like we will tonight, eating by faith and eating, that's what nourishes our mind. That's what nourishes our souls. That's what nourishes and blesses our hearts. And oh my, he's sufficient. This is what I love about him. He's sufficient for the whole man, for everything about us. You know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, God give us minds. He gives us understanding. He gives us hearts. He gives us a soul. He gives us emotions. He gives us affections. He gives us faith. And all these things that he gives us so that when we come to eat Christ, we're nourished. I mean, we get things for our mind. You know, the greatest intellects in this world, I don't care how, Einstein, anybody, the smartest people in this world, beloved, apart from the revelation of God, they could not possibly know God. They can't do it. And I tell you what, he is sufficient for the whole man. And look what it said here in verse 3. He said, down in the last part of the verse, to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Oh, God provided a lamb for every one of us, every one of our homes. He provided a lamb for us, a lamb for our children. If they are brought to faith in Christ, a lamb for a house, a lamb for a household. And ain't it wonderful to have Christ, to be the Lord, to be the lamb, to be our sacrifice, and when we're at home, and he meets the needs of the whole man. And then verse 5, it says this, your lamb shall be without blemish. You can't have a blemish. Can't have a spot on it. It's got to be perfect. And look what he goes on to say, a male of the first year. That means that he got to be strong. He's going to be perfect. He's going to be a male of the first year. And when you go out and look at him, he said, you know, you'll keep him up 14 days. Keep him up 14 days, and every day you go out there and look at him. Every day go out there and examine him and make sure there's nothing wrong with him whatsoever. And he said, after you do that, you shall take him out from the sheep. Keep him up 14 days. And all the whole again. And then he said, and you shall keep it up. Keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Oh, examine it for 14 days. And this is what's so wonderful about this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, which of you convinces me of sin? There's nothing you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's not a fault or flaw in him in any way. From the day he was born till the day he died, not one fault. You hear people talk about when his little boy, no doubt he was mischievous and hurt himself here and hurt himself there and he done this and done that. Listen, he was perfect all the days of his life. He is a perfect child. He is a perfect infant. He was a perfect young man. He was a perfect 30-year-old, 31-year-old, 33-year-old, perfect all the days of his life. And I tell you what, you can look at the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he said, everything he did, and everything about his life, and you have to come back and say, oh, spotless, spotless, spotless. And that's what we have to say. And then it says here in the last part of verse 6, it says, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, you know how many lambs there was? There's a whole bunch of lambs, but he said, the whole congregation shall kill it. All those lambs were regarded as one. Kill it. They all shall kill it. God considered all just one lamb. And that lamb was Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. And oh my, they were viewed as one. One lamb for one people. And let's look at how they ate the Passover. Look back up here now in verse 8. And it says, In verse 8 it said, they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire. Roast with fire. Now fire is emblematic of judgment. God is a consuming fire. And Christ as the food of our hearts as having suffered for us is what this is talking about. Our Lord Jesus Christ passed through the fire of God's wrath. You know, fire fell many times, and fire fell and consumed the sacrifices. Fire fell in Elijah's day and consumed all those sacrifices. And the fire is what they used in the tabernacle to burn the sacrifices with. Well, Christ, as our lamb, Christ is our one who suffered for us. He passed through the fire of God's wrath. And the fact that wrath was so heavy upon him, that he himself, in the night before that, when they come to get him, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying and sweating great drops of blood. And he said, Father, Father, if it be possible, if it's possible at all, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when our Lord was on that cross, no wonder he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And oh, he was the one despised and rejected. And oh my, we see him on the cross. When our Lord was on the cross, I tell you, God's wrath is poured out upon him. And I tell you, he drank the dregs of the cup, of that cup, dregs out of that cup. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was roast with fire, and I tell you what, he was really roast with fire. This roast here, I tell you what, this was just with fire. But Christ, what suffering that he had. What suffering that he had. But that's what they said, eat him roast with fire. And oh, look and keep Exodus and look in Isaiah 63. Look in Isaiah 63. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he went through for it. And I tell you what, he says, you shall eat him. And that's what we're talking about, you know, eating the Passover. And we have to have Christ. We have to have him as our Passover. Sacrifice for us. And look what he said here in Isaiah 63, first five verses. Talking about our Lord. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is, now listen, this he said he's got dyed with garments. This is that is glorious in his apparel. Whatever he's got on is glorious. What he's dressed in is glorious. And then look what he said. Traveling in the greatness of his strength. So when he's traveling, he's going by his own strength, the greatness of his strength. And I that speak in righteousness, who is he talking to? He said, I am the one traveling in there. I'm the one that's mighty to save. And oh, wherefore art thou? And they asked this question again. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I've trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me. He by himself purged our sins. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my garments. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Oh, the blood. And I looked around somebody to help me. None. And there's none to uphold me. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. Oh, I tell you, our Lord, that's what he's talking about. He tread that wine press by himself. He treaded by himself. And I tell you, this is the only object of true faith, Christ crucified. It's not the cross that saves us. Oh, it's not the cross. No, no. When we talk about the cross and glorying in the cross, we're not talking about a wooden cross that Christ was on. We're talking about what was accomplished on that cross, who was on that cross. Oh, my. It wasn't the cross that saved. It was Christ suffering on that cross. Oh, my. It was Christ bearing our wrath, making atonement for our sin. And oh, my. And that's what saves us, Christ and Him, what He did on that cross. And as they ate that lamb roast with fire, Christ must be trusted and looked to as the one who suffered for us. He suffered in it. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He suffered the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. So, oh my, we're going to eat it roast with fire. And I tell you, if we take Christ, we got to take Him with His cross. Somebody read that in the study this evening. He said about Christ, you know, he's talking about going and suffering for the Lord's people. And he said, if a man seeks to save his life, he'll lose it. But if he loses my life for my sake in the gospel, he'll save it. He'll find it. He'll save it. And that's what this business is. We got to have Christ and His suffering. We got to have Christ being roast with fire. And I tell you, Christ endured on the cross what was due us. And because of the worth of His blessed person, because of the merit of who He is, Christ was able to suffer all the wrath of God for a multitude that no man could number. And I tell you what, and we take Him as He is. We take Him as He is. Huh? And then look what else is said here in verse 9 of Exodus. He said, don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw. Oh, my. And what does that mean? That means a lot of people like to separate the Lord Jesus Christ from His atonement. You know, that's what Simon Peter was going to do there in Matthew 16. Our Lord told him, said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to crucify and I'm going to die by the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're going to crucify me. And Peter got him and rebuked him, said, no, 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 you're not going to do that. He wanted Christ, but he wanted Him raw. He wanted Christ without His cross. He wanted Christ, and that's what people do. They want Him raw. They want Him without His lordship. They want Him without His power. They want Him without His grace. They want Christ on their terms, not on His terms. And oh my, people want a personal Savior without His cross. Personal Savior without His sufferings. Oh my. I tell you, you can't have Him. You got to have the whole Christ. And don't eat Him raw. They want Jesus as a prophet. That's great. They want Him as a great teacher, a great moral example for all of us. They want Him as a wonderful, wonderful example. They don't care for Him being a social worker. Oh, He's a social worker. You know, he gets folks to do a lot of wonderful things. He's a marriage counselor. He can take care of your health and He can take care of your wealth. That's eating Him raw. That's eating Him raw. That's to eat the lamb raw. Don't dare. Don't dare. No, oh God, help us never to dare to approach God without Him being roasted under God's wrath. Oh, we can't do it without being roasted. He's the wisdom and power of God. And don't eat Him raw. And I was reading about a fella, a real famous man. He decided he wanted to get baptized. Decided he wanted to get baptized. You know why he wanted to get baptized? Because he said it'd take care of his past. He said, you know, he said, I've studied on it, I've read on it, and they tell me that if I get baptized, I'll be okay. I'll be all right. That's sodden with water. That's eating raw. That's eating Christ raw. Preachers that tell people that they need to make a decision, that's eating Him raw. Come to the altar, that's eating Him raw. Knocking on it and Him knocking on your heart's door, that's eating Him raw. Take him anyway, you know. They'll take him. They want him for to save them from certain things that they're doing, but not save them from their sin. Not save them from the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And I'll tell you what, that's to eat him raw. And God help us. You can't approach God. You cannot approach God without Christ being your substitute, being roasted with the fire of God's wrath. And then look what else is said here in verse 9. Eat it not raw, nor sodden it all with water. What in the world is that all about? Don't water down the gospel. Don't water it down. Don't let the atonement of Christ be watered down. You know, there was people that preached that Christ is yea and nay. You know, and Paul said, we don't preach Christ of yea and nay. We preach Christ of yea. What's yea and nay? That he can save you and yet still you not be his Savior. I mean, not be your Lord. He can be your Savior and still let you live in the world. And oh my, don't tone down the atonement. Don't let it be watered down. Our Lord, and this is how you don't water it down. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes it from me. I've got the power to lay it down. And this lamb, when this lamb was offered here, this lamb was given, you know it was for only one people. Nobody, it wasn't for anybody in Egypt. It was only for Israel, God's elect people. And Christ is only crucified for a particular people. Our Lord said, Thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And he said, I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. I pray for who? Those thou hast given me out of the world. All that the Father gives me, they're going to come to me. Shall call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. Look over in John 6 with me. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Let's look over here together. Now look, our Lord Jesus, look what he says. Verily I say unto you, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. Don't water it down. I mean, our Lord did not water this down right here. He did not water this down. He told them just exactly what it's going to have to. He said in verse 54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I'll raise him up. Now, he's talking about the spiritual eating. Those folks actually ate lamb. We eat Christ spiritually. We eat Christ spiritually. And look what he goes on to say down in verse 60. You know, he said that he that eats this bread will never have to eat again. He'll live forever. Then verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. This is awful hard. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And what he's saying is, who can understand it? Who's going to do it? Who's going to believe it? What is he saying? Oh, my. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I tell you who can hear it. My sheep can. We can hear it. I understand. I heard every word of it, didn't you? I heard every word of it. Old timers, you say, I heard it. I heard it. Oh, I tell you this, beloved. If Christ suffered for you, if Christ is your Passover, then you do eat his flesh and you do drink his blood in every service that we come to. If he did this for the world, you know how, if Christ died for the whole world, then the whole world would be saved. That's how powerful and glorious and wonderful our Lord Jesus Christ is. If his blood was shed for the whole world, there'd not be one soul go to hell. Not one. Just not one. All you have to do is read the Bible and believe those few verses of Scripture and forget about it. But oh no, that lamb was for Israel only. Christ is for his elect only. Christ died only for his people. And we're not going to water it down. We're not going to, you know, what sodden with water means to boil it. Boil it. Who wants to? Oh, my. Oh, don't water the gospel down. Don't water it down. And then look what he said in verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and eat it in haste. Eat it in haste. And what they're telling him them folks is, and this is what I'm telling us, eat it right now. Bow to Christ right now. Receive Christ right now. You know, there's folks, and I don't understand this. I do on account of the fallen nature. But when men and women wait for some reason, they're looking for some reason in themselves why they should not believe. Or else they're looking in reasons in God for not wanting to do anything for them. But it said here, eat him in haste. Right now, eat him fast. Don't let none of it left over. Eat Christ now, now. Eat it in haste. Eat it in haste. Oh, we won't eat it. Oh, we can't eat it later. We can't eat it later. We got to do it hungry. And here's the thing. If you want the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is something I think every believer does, they want Christ all the time. If you've ever, ever seen Christ as your lamb, as your Passover lamb, you've seen him roasted with fire. You don't want him raw. You want him as a substitute. You want him bearing your wrath, bearing your judgment. And you don't want to eat him with watered down. You don't want a watered down gospel. And oh my. And he said, eat it. Eat it in haste. Eat it right now. Don't wait around. Oh, my goodness, don't wait around. And if there's anybody listening to me out there listening tonight or watching tonight, I'll tell you what, if you're an unbeliever, eat Christ right now. Eat him in haste right now. Don't play with Christ. Trifle with the world, but don't trifle with the Savior. Don't trifle with the Savior. And then look what he said in verse 10. Eat all of it. Eat not of it raw. Verse 10. And let none of it remain until the morning. Eat all of it. Don't leave nothing over. Oh my, we must have a whole Christ, a whole lamb, or none of him. Oh my. Some want of his example, but they don't want his doctrine. Don't want his doctrine. No, people used to say around here all the time, don't give me doctrine, just give me Jesus. You can't have Christ without doctrine. You just can't do it. You can't have Christ without doctrine. He said, my doctrine, I gave my doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me, our Lord said. And oh my, they want someone his doctrine. They want the 5 points of Calvinism or the 5 points of and yet they don't want his precepts. They don't want to be told how they're supposed to live. They're not supposed to be kind and generous and loving and follow Christ and be faithful to Christ. That's something that's such a burden to see people that's just not faithful to the gospel. I don't get it to have a profession of faith and not be faithful to the gospel. I don't get that. It's unnatural to me. If Christ is really, truly the Lamb that was suffered for you, and you really believe that with all your heart, and you don't want him raw, you don't want him so watered down, you want him to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your Master, well, what in the world is wrong? What's wrong? Oh, my. Somebody told me this the other day. I'm going to quit preaching and talk a minute. I'm going to meddle. I'm going to meddle in people's business, if you don't mind. But, you know, here recently, somebody told me, they told their preacher, said, well, we decided to have pajama church this morning. In other words, we're going to stay home, stay in our pajamas before we go, so we won't go, you know, that pajama church is what they said. We're just going to stay in our pajamas and watch it on TV. Oh, I hope nobody ever comes and tells me that. Oh, my goodness. But pajama church. Sweat. But oh my, I can't get my head around that. You know, you can sit at your table and eat in your pajamas if you want to, but you cannot eat the gospel and enjoy the gospel sitting around in your pajamas watching the TV. You see, when you want to eat, you want to go get a fork and a spoon and a knife in your hand, and you won't eat out of a plate. And that's what it is. We come here to eat out of the plate, to eat the fresh fruit, to eat the bread. You ever had bread straight out of the oven? Oh, my, it's so hot and it's so good. Don't even cut it. Just reach and break the end off of it. Get you a big old thing of butter and just start buttoning it up and eating it. Huh? Well, that's the way I feel about the gospel. Oh, you know, I heard a fellow say one time, he said, I'm going to bake some new bread to feed the children with this morning. He's talking about, I want to bring fresh bread. I'd love to bring some fresh bread here one time into preaching if I could. Oh, I really would. Eat all of it. You got to have the whole lamb. Oh, my. There's nothing left. There's nothing, no more in Christ than we absolutely need. And everything that's in Christ, we need all of Him. Everything about Him. Oh my, if He's going to be your substitute, He's got to also be your King. If He's going to be your Savior, He's also got to be your Lord, your Master. He's not only our justification, but He's also our sanctification. He sets us apart. Paul asked the question, he said, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? No. And then look what he said in verse 8 again. He said, and eat it with unleavened bread. You know what leaven is. Everybody knows what leaven is. It's the same thing you'd call baking soda, I reckon. But what it was is always affiliated with sin. Our Lord told him, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. And you know, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, purge out that old leaven. Now, you know, we have that, we eat with unleavened bread. We got to purge out the old leaven of our traditions, of our works, of our merit, of envy and malice and jealousy and all those kind of things. And all those things that our flesh will give way to, that's leaven. We got to purge that out, that old leaven of envy and malice and works. And leaven was always typical of sin and always typical of hypocrisy. So we have to, by God's grace, bow and receive our Lord Jesus Christ honestly, sincerely. We have to have the whole of Christ, everything about Him. And I tell you, not only must we have all of Him, here's the other side of it. He has to have all of Him. And remember the old hymn writer said, we're the whole realm of nature mine. That's a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. My all. If it was left up to us without this flesh, our whole lives would be committed to Christ in a way that would just be unimaginable to us the way it is right now. But we have to have the whole Christ, and He must have the whole of you. And this is the thing right here. This is where we have to be honest. Oh, my, don't trifle with the Lord. Don't trifle with the Lord. If you're going to play act, go someplace else. If you want to pretend, don't do it here with the substitute, with Christ, the Lamb. And then look what he said there in verse 8 again. Eat it with bitter herbs, bitter herbs, bitter herbs. And the herbs were to enhance the taste of the lamb. Relish is like it made it taste better, but it's bitter herbs. And remember the bitterness of Christ and the bitterness of our sin and how awful it was when Christ began to deal with us and bring it to himself. Oh, I tell you, the bitterness of our bondage, Christ made it so much sweeter. And then there's the bitter herbs of repentance. Bitter herbs of repentance. And oh my, the bitter herbs of our unworthiness. Oh, I tell you, have you ever felt worthy once Christ saved you? Worthy of anything? Huh? Oh, that's bitter herbs. Poorness of spirit. You know, the morels and the morels are having some bitter herbs right now. Bitter herbs. And as long as we're believers in this life, we're going to have a lot of bitter herbs. A lot of bitter herbs. You may have some bitter herbs tomorrow. You may have had bitter herbs last week. And I tell you, this will always go with those that's believing, is bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. Things that our trials are bitter herbs. Our sin is bitter herbs. And all these things, what makes Christ so sweet to us is because of how bitter life gets to be in this life. Bitter. And if you eat the lamb with bitter herbs, go with him. But who cares? You know, if the bitter herbs go with Christ, who cares as long as we have the privilege of eating the lamb? That's all that matters. If God gave us nothing but sweetness, and beds of roses all the way to glory, we would be the sorriest bunch you ever met in your life. We would be awful, wouldn't we? Be awful. And then I love this, and I'll be done. Look what he said in verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. He said, when we eat the lamb, you got to be ready to go. Eat it with your traveling clothes on. You know, this is an amazing thing. Whatever clothes you're wearing when Christ calls you home, you got your traveling clothes on. We got our traveling clothes on right now. What is it? The righteousness of Christ. The holiness of Christ. Oh, my. You know, get your traveling, put your shoes on. Put your shoes on, get your staff in your hand. You're fixing to leave here. It's as quick as God passes through, you're going out of here. And oh, this world is not our home. Oh, we have started our exodus already out of this world. We've already started our exodus out of this world. And oh, we're headed, where are you going? To the promised land. Huh? Oh my, he said it like this, here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. Look in Hebrews 11 with me. Just look in Hebrews 11 and I'll be done. Look in Hebrews 11. Talking about, you know, put your traveling clothes on. Joe Turrell was in his pajamas when the Lord took him home, but he had his traveling clothes on. I tell you what, look what he says here now. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. Talking about Abraham. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, with heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, my. And then look what he said down verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them way, way off. They persuaded them that they seen way, way off. And they embraced those promises they seen so far off. And when they embraced them and seen them and embraced them, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful out of that country from whence they'd come, they'd have turned around and went back. But now, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He's already got it ready. He's already got it ready. Huh? Oh my, he's already got it ready. City prepared for us. You know, it's got 12 stones in it. Got 4 gates to it. Pearls. And the foundation, you know, that he laid is the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation ain't never going to change. He laid that foundation. That foundation ain't never going to change. And you know, he said, be shod with shoes on your feet. We're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We got the breastplate of righteousness. We got the helmet of salvation. Ready to go. Ready to go. Our Father, the blessed name of Christ our Lord, again we bless you that you allowed us this privilege to be here. And I pray that you'd be pleased to bless the message to your glory and the good of those that's here. Lord, it's in our hearts, it's in our souls, no matter what this flesh is like. We can't go by our feelings, we can't go by our emotion. We can't go by our thoughts even. Lord, we got to go by what you say. And regardless of how down we get or how up we get, you're still, we got to have you. We want all of you, Lord. We want everything about you. We want you Godhead with all that glory and power. We want you humanity and all its sinlessness and purity. We want your word that feeds us and comforts us. We want your mercy, oh God, that embraces us when we're discouraged. We want your grace to hold us up because we can't stand up by ourselves. And Lord, we understand clearly without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves again as much as this old rotten, corrupt flesh will let us. Lord, we commit ourselves to you one more time in this world. And if you let us live tomorrow, God will get up and say, you're our God, you're our Lord, you're our Master, and we still want all of you. And Lord, enable us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, and do it for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'll see you Wednesday, God willing. Don't forget the lunch next week. And I'll be back here Wednesday night next week.